Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone for this interview is candidate for Mayor John Henningsgaard. How's it going today, John?
It's going well. I mean, it's a beautiful morning.
Oh, my gosh.
There's some of that humidity in.
Yeah. It's so nice. So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about yourself, such as how long you've been in Bemidji?
I think we've been here a little over 20 years. And we used to live up in the Debs area, kind of bounced back and forth a little bit between I'm from St. Cloud, and so I've bounced back a little bit between the central Minnesota area and the Bemidji area for most of my adult life.
And what kind of roles in the community have you served?
Well, I've, you know, I was an educator. I worked down in La Porte for 20 years as a teacher, and then I've also been on the board of directors at the community theater, been volunteering with the Headwaters Music and Arts, volunteering at KAXE of late, and I'm also a member of a local political organization, so that kind of stuff.
And is this your first political campaign?
It is.
All right. Well, what made you want to run for mayor?
Well, I think most recently I was asked by somebody, you know, why don't you run for mayor? Have you ever considered running for mayor? And I've long considered getting involved in politics. My parents were involved in politics. My parents were community servants, and they sort of raised us with that those kind of values. I've long had a sense of justice and trying to make things right in communities for people. So that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, my next few questions are on some specific city issues. If you feel you don't have the right information available to you right now, we can certainly skip them. But my first question is related to the city's non-taxable land issue. About half of the city is non-taxable land and properties, so a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions have you thought of that might address that problem?
Well, to be honest, I have not even thought of that problem. I think you're talking about non-taxable land, like maybe the university and the county buildings and...
Yeah, it's certainly not an issue that's what's solely known to Bemidji. A lot of county seats have this sort of issue too.
All right, I know it was an issue in the La Porte School District as well. You know, lots of county land, lots of state land, and so on. I was first sort of motivated to take an interest in community government in Bemidji just by noticing that. Lots of my friends and acquaintances seemed to shun the city of Bemidji. Everybody I knew lived outside of it somewhere. And I so much enjoyed living in the city that I've been wanting to, hope to encourage other people to do the same. And I guess at the same time, I was noticing that the housing situation in our neighborhood was going from mostly homeowners to mostly rentals. And I think it's, you know, happened that way around town quite a bit. So I don't think this addresses the taxable, non-taxable thing, but it does, it is a concern of mine. Just making our city a desirable place to live and for people to come to. And I think we've made a lot of steps in the last 20 years, a lot of really positive things to our community. And I think continuing those kinds of things, like developing the parks and the trails and improving our housing. We have a variety of different housing options now around town, newer housing options. We've welcomed a lot of businesses, dining opportunities, that sort of thing. So, and I think, you know, these kind of things attract millennials, attract younger people. But we still do have, ways to go. And so any kind of opportunities that we can find to improve our housing, that we can get some grants in for people, find ways for more people to be homeowners in our community. That can only serve to improve our tax base as well as just sort of make our city a more desirable place to be.
And a follow-up for that, do you support a hospitality or a sales tax as a means of alternate revenue, especially to relieve those costs of the Sanford Event Center?
Yes, I do. And I long supported a hospitality tax and couldn't figure out why we didn't do that. You know, when I met with Nate Matthews here a week or so ago, it seemed to be the one thing that was really on his radar was just the burden that we carry by being, the way he explained it, the sole community in Minnesota with an event center who is asking its citizens to pay for the excess costs of owning that, of having that event center. All the event centers have cost overruns that have to be met with some sort of income stream, some sort of money stream, and we're the only city that's asking its citizens to pick up that cost. And so, I thought a hospitality tax made a lot of sense because people come into our community for the event center, maybe stay in hotels, you know, maybe they're using our dining, they're dining out, and so we could tax that, but there's been some problems with that, apparently. The hotel industry feels like it's already taxed quite heavily, that its patrons are taxed heavily enough. And so now there's talk about a general sales tax to do that, some of that work. And if that's the best vehicle for that, I also support that.
Yeah, hospitality tax use is a little more flexible with how you can spend it, whereas sales tax has to be for building stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I guess okay. So it couldn't be for the yearly upkeep.
It could be for like capital improvement. The sales tax could potentially.
Right.
But hospitality tax is a lot more flexible on how you can spend it.
I see. So because we have both of those issues, right? We have this.
Yep.
We have this $450,000 gap that we have to fill every year, and then we have the capital improvements now that are becoming increasingly costly as the building is, you know, I think about 10 years old now, and it's just going to take more and more money as it goes on, estimating to be about $700,000 a year eventually.
As an average, yeah. Okay. My next question is on the Highway 197 business corridor, you know, where it kind of juts off west from Bemidji Avenue. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway fairly soon, and that plan for multiple roundabouts was scrapped, and they're back to the drawing board. The MnDOT won't move forward unless they have, you know, basically the blessing of the city council. So what are your thoughts on the project and what should happen there?
Well, you know, I'm aware of the controversy surrounding the roundabouts. I weighed into that. To that discussion on some bike safety and some they invited participants by pedestrians and bicyclists, and so I went out to a meeting for that, but that was over a year ago. I think the roundabouts have served us well west of town out toward the new high school and such. There was a lot of trepidation on the behalf of the citizenry and the businesses about roundabouts on that. I can understand. I really can't speak as to which way is best. I don't have the expertise to do that. But I think the Department of Transportation is concerned about the number of exits and entrances onto 197 as traffic continues to build up. And, you know, I think it's a realistic concern, and so we have to respect some of those concerns, some of the expertise that they're bringing, and so we have to find some ways to limit that traffic flow, I suspect, on and off of 197. But, you know, I'm a curious person, I'm a good listener, I think I can weigh our arguments objectively, and I really think that we need to do what's best for the citizens and the for the residents of Bemidji, first of all, and then also hear the businesses, because they need to be happy and respected. So I'm sure we can find a workable solution.
Right. My next question's on the city's water system. I know the Minnesota legislature is currently in session at the time of this interview, but the prospect of a bonding bill getting passed continues to look more and more bleak. The city needs an expensive water fix. There was a request for some of those bonding dollars to fix it. But without that, those bonding dollars, that burden will likely fall to the utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project and a possible funding solution, if you've thought of one?
Well, I know we're hoping for some bonding money, about $8 million, I think, which is about half the cost. It's quite a fix because, I mean, we're in a bit of a fix because of the significant cost to try to purify the water from our wells. I mean, it's a tough lesson to learn, and we seem to have to learn it many times over with our water here in the Northland and around Bemidji in particular. And we've had a lot of different issues with pollutants. So I'm like everybody, I'm hoping for that bonding thing to come through. I know that the city, that Nate Matthews did mention that there's a possibility of recouping some money from 3M, that we may be involved in a lawsuit there, and seemingly with some justification for the product that they gave us without fair warning, I guess. So outside of those two options, I'm not really at this time prepared, I guess, to say where exactly that money flow has come with. I have not had a chance to visit yet with the city engineer to get updated on those ideas, but I will be doing that.
Fair enough. My next couple of questions are on some current events. Recent events in the city and the state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a mayor to improve race relations and trust?
Well, I mean, as you know, a lot of those issues came with law enforcement. And so the first meeting I have made with the city manager is to visit with the city department head, rather, is to meet with Chief Mike Maston. So I'll be doing that next week. And just in trying to make sure that... I've been told that Mike is a real proponent of community policing, and I think I'm not really sure how he feels about how that's going, but I think he feels like we've had challenges in that area. I think he's well aware of them. So I have concerns too about the increasing military... I'm sorry, Larissa, could you repeat the question?
My question particularly is, what would you do as mayor to improve race relations and trust?
Well, so there's some talk that citizen panels could be of some use. And that seems reasonable. But I would really encourage our police department to be transparent in their dealings with the community. I think we've done a lot of good work in the community to improve race relations and trust. I'm going to cite the committee that put up the new statue of Shinishkuan, for instance. The dual signage that we have on a lot of our buildings. I think the efforts by a lot of our business owners to hire Native members of our community, a diverse membership in our community, because we also have international students that come in from BSU. We have an increasingly, we have an African-American community that's growing in numbers. And these are opportunities, you know, for cultural exchange, cultural awareness, and we should make the most of them and celebrate our diversity, celebrate our differences. That sounds like something ringing in the background. I apologize for that.
Don't worry about it. We can edit that out.
So, So I think Bemidji is really on the right is on the right track with these kinds of initiatives. I've seen so much progress in the past, but you know, we need to continue to work on it. We need to be, like I said, we need to find ways to bring people together. You know, there's the BSU every year has the sponsors their powwow, which is a great opportunity for people to get out and experience a different cultural, different way to celebrate. And again, I am concerned about some of the policing policies, and I'll be looking at that and checking into those ways that, you know, I don't want to see us, if we could move towards community policing types of approaches as opposed to militarization kinds of things, you know, those are dangerous, and we've seen some of the ill effects of those in other communities, and we certainly want to avoid that here.
All right, my last questions on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal capacity, what do you think a city council's role should be in a public health emergency should this ever happen again?
You know, the response to the COVID-19 emergency has not been good overall nationally. You know, I think we lacked effective leadership. We lacked an effective plan, and instead have found ways to politicize the issue and to divide people when we had an opportunity to try to bring people together around our response. So it's been most unfortunate. I feel that, you know, I think our local public health has done a good job of communicating with the public. They've done a good job of reassuring us that they are on top of the issue. I think our city council has done a good job of supporting local businesses as they open up by offering their support, both financial and through other, you know, other resources, by providing city resources to help them downtown with the dining, for instance. I'm not sure, you know, what I've heard about countries and responses that have worked well, it mostly works well when the government kind of gets out of the way and lets the experts, in this case the scientific community, the medical community, institute a plan, and then they support that plan in whatever way they can. So in ways that the Bemidji City Council could do that, that's the kind of response that I would support.
All right. Well, John, that's it for my prepared questions. Is there any other issue you wanted to be sure we discussed before we wrap this up?
Any other issue that I want to... No. I mean, I would just say that I think, again, I would just repeat the fact, I think that our city is really on the right track. I think we've done a lot of really good things over the last 20 years. And so I look forward to working with the various organizations in the community to allow us to continue that sort of partnership to bring more opportunities and for recreation, cultural exchange, the arts, to our community, the kinds of things that make this a vibrant and worthwhile place to live.
All right. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me today, John. John Henningsgaard for Mayor.